and from the wickedness of our deeds. Whomsoever Allah guides, there is no one to lead them astray. And whomsoever Allah allows to stray, there is no one to guide them toward the right. I openly bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, who is alone and without partner. And I openly bear witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave, his messenger, and the seal of the prophets. O Allah, exalt Muhammad and the followers of Muhammad, as you have exalted Ibrahim and the followers of Ibrahim, for surely you are praised and magnified. O Allah, bless Muhammad and the followers of Muhammad, as you have blessed Ibrahim and the followers of Ibrahim, for surely you are praised and magnified. See, many of my God. Inshallah ta'ala, this is another of the series of Islamic issues, inshallah, where I deliver messages from other imams and scholars and talibul ilm, inshallah, in order to allow the people the benefit of their wisdom and of their teachings, inshallah. So to proceed. A police officer in a Muslim country wrote the following letter to a shaykh, describing the events that led to his return to Allah Azza wa Jal. He replied, "Seeing accidents and crash victims was a normal part of my day, but one incident was different. My partner and I, we had parked on the shoulder of the highway, and we had began to chat. In a random second, the scene shattered to the hideous sound of metal bodies becoming one. We threw our heads back to see what had happened. A head-on collision, the result of a vehicle slipping into the lane of the oncoming traffic. You couldn't describe the carnage. Two young men sprawled in the first car, both in critical condition. We carried them gently away from the car and rested them on the ground. Quickly, we returned to assist the owner of the second car. He was dead. Back we went to the two young men lying side by side on the pavement. My partner began dictating the shahada to them. Say, La ilaha illallah. There is no deity worthy of worship but Allah. La ilaha illallah. But their tongues wouldn't acknowledge. They started humming the hypnotic lyrics of some song. I was terrified. My partner had experience, however, and he kept repeating his instructions. I stood watching. No movement. Eyes locked. Never in my life had I seen anything similar to what was going on before me. In fact, I've never actually seen someone die, and never in such a satanic way. My partner, he continued to instruct them to say the shahada, but there was no use. The hum of their song came to a slow silence suddenly. The first one stopped, and then the other. Not a stir. They were both dead. We carried them to our patrol car. My partner made no effort to speak. Not a whisper between us as we carried the corpses to the nearest hospital. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Ubayd ibn Khalif confronted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day with a rotted bone in his hand. He crushed it in front of his hands, and he let the wind blow it away, and he said, Muhammad, do you claim that Allah will bring these ashes to life? And he recited what Allah Azza wa Jal, Sayyidina Muhammad recited, has not man considered how we created him from a drop of sperm? Yet he is an open adversary. He makes something up to be compared with us and forgets how he was created. He says, who will revive our bones after they have rotted away? Allah replied, Ubayd, and everyone else who dares make the mistake, say, the one who raised them up in the first place will revive them. He is aware of all creation. This is from Surah Yasin, Surah 36, Ayat 77-79, and from Tafsir ibn Kathir. And the Sheikh continues, he said, reflecting on the topic, he came across a website where readers submit stories of their biggest regrets. For some, it was a lost love. For others, it was a job they passed up. And for still others, it was a flip of fate that ended in a horrific way. But in all, the regrets that they had were worldly candies that they had lost, short-lived pleasures of life. This is the world in which Allah decreed that summers always come, and the summers always come to an end. Those stories were the living beings recalling their regrets. However, what I would like to see is a website where the dead would recall their regrets. They would not regret the lost love, or the silly job, or the twist of fate. They indeed would regret every second that they did not spend worshiping Allah Azza wa Jalla. We are all here at this website today, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, because we claim that La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, and that indeed Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger. This is what we claim to believe. Nevertheless, the problem is that for many, it is a belief that dropped its bags and sat down on the tongue and did not move on to penetrate the heart. Na'udhu billah. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, there are many men and many women of our deen for whom this was not the case. Muhammad ibn Abi Imran narrates, Rahimullah rahmatullah alayh, I heard someone ask our Shaykh, Hakim al-Asim, how he reached the level he was at in reliance upon Allah, in his tawakkul of Allah. He replied, I become convinced in four things, that these four things penetrated my heart. One, I am convinced that no one else will eat the provision Allah has decreed for me, so I am content. And two, I am convinced that no one else is going to do good works except me, so I am busy doing it myself. Three, I am certain death shall come unexpectedly, so I am busying myself in expectation of it. And four, I am certain I shall never escape the sight of Allah, so I am shy to disobey Him while He is watching. Subhanallah. Even though we all claim to believe what Hakim al-Asim is convinced of, how many of us have carried it past their tongue and allowed it a space deep within our hearts? We all know what the media does to distort facts, to distort the facts on the nightly news. They take a long speech and they cut and paste it and they take the words out of context. Well, the media is not the only one that takes things out of context. Let us consider the following verse of Allah Azza wa Jal, where He says in translation, say, my servants who have acted extravagantly against themselves still do not despair of Allah's mercy. Allah forgives all offenses. He is the forgiving, the merciful. So many of us have heard this verse out of context. It may seem like a human can do all the bad that they want, and when they die, they will go to heaven. But indeed, we need to read on where Allah Azza wa Jalla says, and turn in repentance towards your Lord, and commit yourself peacefully to Him before torment comes to you. Then you will not be supported. Follow the finest part of whatever has been sent down to you from your Lord before torment comes upon you suddenly, while you do not notice it. Lest some soul should say, alas, my grief, that I was undutiful to Allah, and I was indeed amongst those who scoffed at the truth. Subhanallah. This last verse is proof that the Quran cannot be translated. How do you explain the grief of Ya Hasrata? Imam At-Tahrir Al-Asur tries explaining. Hasra is extreme, violent, intoxicated regret. It is like a servant boy whose master charged him with the care of a flock. Thinking that the master was not watching, he slept and played, leaving the flock unattended. And the flock went further and further away until a pack of wolves came and devoured every single one. The regret is the regret that the boy had to his master. On this line, Yahya ibn Mu'adh, radiyallahu anhu, rahimahullah, rahmatullah alayhi, said, "The most naive thing in my eyes is to linger in sin with no regrets, hoping for a far-off pardon, and to hope to come closer to Allah without doing anything, and to wait for the harvest of Jannah with the seeds of hell, waiting for reward without any deeds. You long for redemption, but have not taken his road." My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, indeed boats, they don't sail in the desert. The police officer that we mentioned earlier fell back into his regular routine, as he narrates, and started to drift away from Allah Azza wa Jal. But indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Truly there are signs for those who reflect, and Allah continuously sends us warnings." So another event happened to him, which sealed the return to Allah Azza wa Jal. So he continues in his narration where he says, "What an odd world. After some time, of about 6 months, a strange accident took place. A young man was moving along the highway normally, but within one of the tunnels leading to the city, he was lain by a flat tire. To the side of the tunnel he parked, and stepped to the back to remove the spare tire. The whistle of a speeding car from behind, in a second, it collided with the crippled car, and the young man was in between the cars, and he fell to the ground with critical conditions, subhanAllah. So the narrator continues, "I rushed to the scene myself, and another partner other than the first. Together we carried the young man's body into our patrol car and phoned the hospital to prepare for his arrival. He was a young adult in his blossoming years, religious, you could tell from his appearance. He was mumbling when we carried him, but in our rush, we had not paid attention to what he was saying. However, when we placed him on his back in the patrol car, we could make it out. Through the pain, his heart was reciting Quran. He was so immersed in his recitation, subhanAllah, you would have never said that this person was in intense pain. Blood had soaked his clothes crimson red. His bones had clearly snapped in several places. To tell the truth, he looked like he was staring into the eyes of death." He continued to read in his unique, tender voice, reciting each verse in proper rhythm. "In my entire life, I had never heard any recitation like it. I said to myself, I'm going to instruct him to say the Shahada, just like I saw my friend, my partner of old doing, especially since I had previous experience. My partner and I listened intently to that soft voice. I felt the shiver, and it shook my back and up and down my arm, and it made my hair stand. Suddenly, the hymn ceased. I watched silently as his hand rose softly. He had his index finger pointed upward to the heaven, saying the Shahada, 'La ilaha illallah. There is no deity worthy of worship except Allah.' Then his head slumped. Nothing. I jumped to the back seat. I felt his hand, his heart, his breathing. The young man was dead. I couldn't stop staring at him. A tear fell, but I hid it ashamed. I turned back to my partner and told him that the boy's life had ceased. And my partner, he burst out loud crying. Seeing a man cry like that, I could not control myself. And my partner faded away behind the fall of my own tears. In the patrol car, the windows began to fog from our emotions. subhanAllah. We arrived at the hospital. As we rushed through the corridors, we told all the doctors, nurses, and onlookers what had happened. So many people were affected by what we said. Some stood there speechless and tearful. No one, I repeat, no one wanted to lose sight of the boy until they had been assured of the time and place where he would be buried. One of the hospital staff phoned the boy's home. His brother picked it up and was told of the accident. So his brother began to tell us about him. He said, he used to go out every Monday to visit his only grandmother outside of town. Whenever he visited her, he made sure to spend time with the poor children, idling the streets and the orphans. The town knew him. He was the one that would bring them the Islamic books and tapes. His dusty Mazda car would be filled with rice and sugar and even candies. He couldn't forget the candies for those families who were in need. He would not stand for anyone to discourage him from the long journey to that town. He would always politely reply that the long drive gave him time to review his Quran and listen to Islamic lectures on his cassette deck. And that with every step to the town, he hoped for the reward he would find with Allah Azza wa Jalla. It is true, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, that Allah is indeed merciful and forgives and forgives. Allah says, yeah, I am quite forgiven. But to whom, we might ask? And Allah says, towards anyone who turns in repentance and believes and acts honorably, then he will be guided. Allah Azza wa Jalla also says in the Quran, O our people, respond to Allah's caller, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and believe in him. Allah will forgive you of your sins and will save you from a painful torment. SubhanAllah. Just like we reply to someone's call when they call us on the telephone, this is Allah and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calling to you and to me. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, let us answer this call. There is a verse in the Quran that when the shayateen read it, they cried and felt regret. Listen to this verse. It is a door to our happiness in this life and the next when Allah Azza wa Jalla says in translation, and those who, if they commit an immorality or wrong themselves, remember Allah and seek forgiveness for their sins. And who can forgive sins except Allah? And who do not persist in what they have done while they know? And Allah Azza wa Jalla continues. He says, for those, their reward is forgiveness from their Lord and gardens beneath which rivers flow in Jannah, wherein they shall abide eternally. Excellent is the reward of the righteous one. SubhanAllah. Allah Azza wa Jalla sent the prophets and the books. He sent the warners and the glad tidings. And he sent the reminders. And atop all that, Allah comes down to Sama' al-Dunya in a way befitting his majesty. In the third portion of the night, every night, calling to every one of his servants. And he says, is there anyone who shall make dua so that I shall accept his dua? Is there anyone who shall ask for pardon so that I may pardon him? My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, SubhanAllah, my wife and I were just talking about this earlier today. So I want to add you to this. Let us make a pledge tonight to set our alarm clocks at 2 a.m. in the morning. We all know that if there is some special sports event or TV show, or that if you have a plane to catch at that time, they will be capable of waking up. So let's set the alarm. Let's make intention to set the alarm to pray only two rak'ah to Allah Azza wa Jalla. and in sajda, when you are closest to your Lord, recall just one of your sins, just one, between us and Allah, and ask Allah Ta'ala to forgive us for that sin, pledging sincerely that we shall never return to it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught us that Allah is more pleased with the repentance of his slaves than a man who loses his camel in the desert, and in that wasteland loses hope of life. In that state, he sits down awaiting death to overtake him. Then that man opens his eyes and finds his camel standing before him with all the provisions to take him home. And in his extreme happiness, he cries out, O Allah, you are my servant and I am your Lord. This man, he said it wrong from the bliss of his happiness. Sayyidina Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that verily Allah is more happy with our tawbah than this man was with the return of his camel. So my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, tonight at 2 a.m., let us all try to make Allah Azza wa Jal happy with us. Believe me, if we do this, we won't be amongst those who have the regret. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Barakallahu fikum wa jazakallahu khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.